I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Maxine in San Jose. Maxine, what's happening?
Hey, not much, but I wanted to talk about the Warriors because I really love what they're doing. And they're moving the ball. They're passing it. When they dribble it too much, they start getting into trouble with turnovers. It's just such much more of a free-flowing game. And I really love how he's using the depth of the team to an advantage. And to me, I keep thinking that maybe it was something he picked up more just being the coach of the Olympics.
Yep.
Because he had so much depth on that team, right? So I feel like Kerr is growing as a coach, and that's not something you always see in coaches, people that have coached a long time. And I love his flexibility and how he's leading this team, and I love how everyone's embracing their roles.
Maxine, great points there. You're so right. Steve Kerr does look happy. He looks like he's grown. Maybe it's the Olympic experience. Maybe it's a new team. Maybe it's having no expectations. A lot of people don't think much of the Warriors. A lot of people didn't think much of the Warriors coming into the season. Oh, they can't really play 12 guys. Oh, they can't play 13. Oh, they don't have a second scorer. Oh, they can't play defense. They're older. The young guys aren't ready. These role players, oh, they're rejects from other teams. Well, you know what? Steve Kerr's pulling all the right strings so far, but Ron Adams joined us in the 7 o'clock hour, assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors. He had two things he said. One on J.K., but he told a story about Buddy Hield and the importance of Steve Kerr and his coaching ability. Listen to Coach Adams.
Maybe it was our last exhibition game or next to last, I forget which. And Buddy was 4-for-14 in the game, didn't have a great shooting night, shot into some really intense shot challenges. He was coming off the floor in the fourth quarter. He met Steve, and they were both laughing. Steve had his arm around him. And I told Steve after the game, I said, that interchange was the most significant thing that happened in this game. Because Steve is a wonderful coach to play for in general, but if you're a shooter, he's more than wonderful. And I think Bill's that. I think Buddy's been judged on many teams recently, not so much probably when he came into the league, but you know, if he's not making shots, he's not playing. And shooters can't feel that. Shooters have to feel the freedom to shoot the ball. No one, I think, fosters the confidence of a shooter better than Steve Kerr.
It all starting to make sense, Shasky. Buddy Hield, after the first game of the season, said, I haven't felt this free since I was in Oklahoma. He's not talking about Oklahoma City. He's talking about the Oklahoma Sooners playing for Lon Kruger when he advanced to a Final Four. And then you hear Ron Adams saying, a shooter needs to feel as if they're free. They can shoot the ball without any consequences and just go out there and play. Very, very interesting nugget there by Ron Adams.
Do you think that Steve, I mean, to a degree, sees a version of himself in Buddy Hield?
Maybe.
I think Buddy had higher hopes for his career than where he's currently at. But in the sense of like, hey, I'm a shooter who's coming off the bench. I'm better than people are giving me credit for. And like, he would know what type of system would work well for a guy like that. Like, I need to feel empowered as a shooter.
Yeah, maybe there's something there. There's something there.
I'm not saying they're the same player. He's way bigger than he.
Just I'm playing saying, a role. Like, hey, you're gonna come in the game. Here's your role. This is what you're going to do. And you can see either 10, the 15, the 20, the 25 minutes. The minutes aren't guaranteed, but if you play well, you have a longer leash out there on the floor.
It just feels like to me, Kerr has always been able to connect, for the most part, with the bounce-around veterans.
No doubt.
Right?
Because he kind of was one, right?
That's what I'm saying. And then I think where he's kind of struggled is the, I came into the league at 18, you know, and I'm really raw, and I've been the dude on all my AAU teams, and I really don't understand what my role is on this team. I think that is where he's struggling. And it makes sense.
No, it does make sense. 888-957-9570. What has been the most impressive aspect of this start to the season? As the Warriors start out, last year they were 6-1 right out of the gate, 6-2. It felt a little different. They didn't win road games last year. It's this year they're winning road games. They're 3-0 on the road so far. Winning 20 of their last 24 away from Chase Center, dating back to last season. But there's so much to like here. 888-957-9570. I'll just go down the list, Shasky, and you can pick one. Draymond being aggressive offensively and being back to that player defensively while taking more accountability as a leader. His leadership has been off the charts, especially this last week without Stephen Curry. Kevon Looney, unsung hero. All he's doing is coming in, rebounding, playing well. And next thing you know, you look up at the stat sheet, he's got 7-7 while playing solid defense. Bought into his role. Moses Moody, bought into his role. Brandon Podziemski, connecting everything, making winning plays, buying into his role. We can't talk enough about Buddy Hield and what he's done so far, being 30-58 from the three-point line and shooting over 50% from three and shooting over 50% from the field. I mean, wow, what a revelation this guy's been. Jonathan Kuminga, his growth within the last three games alone after all the noise Tuesday night. I mean, you pick one. There's a lot to feel good about, Warrior fans. 888-957-9570. And now we get the barometer set over this next week. When we come back in next Monday, we'll have Niners and Bucks to recap from. But also, we'll have an idea of just how good this team could be after playing the Celtics, Cavaliers, and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I think the number one thing for me is Draymond. It is, because I think everything flows from there. When you have someone who's such a big personality and is such a force, physically and emotionally, for a small knit group. I mean, this isn't like a room of 70 guys, right? Where, you know, some personalities can get drowned out just because of the amount of people that you have in the building. When you have 12 guys on a team and, you know, a half dozen to a dozen coaches or whatever, and you're in a small group. And when one guy wields as much influence as he has, their attitude, their buy-in, how they communicate with others, everything is going to be under the microscope of everyone in the organization. And I think that can be a double-edged sword. It can be bad when things are not going well. You feel like you can't breathe because that person consumes so much of the oxygen in the room. But when they're on their best behavior, it's like everybody is pulling in the same direction. You know, I think he's such an important person, and it's more his mindset than anything else. Like, I told you, I can't believe I'm here. I'm like Draymond, I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's proven it to me. Like, when he got ejected out of that game, he could have easily went onto the bench and sulked.
Yeah,
he stood up with everyone else and was like rooting on the fellas. And then at timeouts, he was like talking to guys and fully engaged. And like, he's on his best behavior. And if you're going to rip the guy like I've ripped the guy over the last 3 years, when they look like they've changed, you have to give them credit when they've done it. And I feel like I'm not giving them enough credit.
The one thing about the start and everything, the leadership, I love the hug with Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green at the end of the game. Him hugging JK saying, this is what you do. You can be a great player. I'm pushing you to be a great player. It's been a revelation with Draymond Green, the champion of change. And, you know, he had the quote, the famous quote, like, hey, I don't get up for games in March. Wake me up in April.
Such an absurd statement.
But you know what, though? The guy certainly is getting up for these games to start the season. He is playing hard. He's playing so hard at both ends of the floor. And Ron Adams touched on his aggressiveness offensively. Hell, take it away, Ron. We had him on to 7 o'clock. Here's what he said about Draymond Green this season.
Well, I think he's trying to assert himself offensively a bit, and we need him to do that. And his three-point stroke has been actually last year, too. I mean, he's made a good percentage of his shots. I like what he's doing from the three-point line. He's spending, I think, more time in thinking about, like, the finer aspects of his shot. I think coming into the league, he was a big-picture guy. The smaller things didn't matter as much to him. He got it done with energy and his you know, just his strong will to win basketball games. And now he's older and a little bit wiser in that regard, and I think he's getting better as a shooter. We need that. But I think defensively, he's obviously playing at a very high level, and I think his leadership on the court has been really good, and we need that because we're going to be a team that relies on multiple playmakers, and he's one of them. I think Kyle is one of them, and we can go down the line. Even Buddy is showing some playmaking abilities, as is Melton, and so on down the line. So he's important to us in that regard also, but he's a confidence
builder, booster for all of our guys defensively. He understands the game. He sees the pictures early and so on. And I think he's gotten off to a good start, came to camp. He was in good shape, but I think that was extremely important. And he will continue to do what Draymond Green does, and that is play winning basketball.
There's no doubt. We'll leave on.
You know, B, I can only speak for myself, but we have a saying in our family, like, you never know what someone else's rock bottom is, mm-hmm. right? And you think, like, for some people, when they're, you know, struggling with addiction or the law or whatever it is, just getting in trouble, you know, like, going to jail isn't their rock bottom, you know? Divorce or losing custody of your children isn't their rock bottom. They can go even lower, you know? For some people, though, it's small things that is their rock bottom that forces change. It does feel like last year was Draymond's rock bottom emotionally for himself. And the fact that he's looked into the mirror. Now, again, we're six games in, you know, like ask me in 2 months, if you know, if he has like a 14 game suspension or something, I'll have a different answer. But as of right now, it certainly feels like he has whatever happened last year. He looked himself in the mirror and he's shown up this year and he's trying to change things. And as someone who changed his life, I appreciate it, and I'm wishing him well, and I'm pulling for him. I'm not going to be the skeptic. I'm going to root along the way, and I'm going to hope that he stays on the up and up.
It hasn't just been six games, though. I've been listening to Draymond since training camp has started. And since camp has started, I've heard a different tone from Draymond Green. The way he's speaking about the team, the way he's speaking about himself, the way he's talking about his leadership, the way he's speaking at a podium. It has been a change from Draymond Green. And I keep going back to what he said Wednesday night. I'm a champion of change. I was not good last year. I'll let us down. I was not good last year. Taking accountability right then and there. And I've said, wow, okay. And then, you know, yeah, sure, he's going to get his shots off. Say, hey, don't forget about Dre. I got goals defensively. I want to be back in the mix for DPOY. I want to be back in the mix for an all-NBA defensive team. And if he would have qualified for the games last season, he would have made an all-defensive team. But he missed 27 games, so he didn't qualify. And the season was marred by the suspensions. Look, man, Draymond Green, the way he's empowering Jonathan Kuminga, the way he's showing leadership on the court, the way he's keeping, you know, look, he's going to run hot. He's going to get more technicals. There's no doubt about it. That's who he is. He's going to play with an edge because the guy cares about winning.
But he's treating his teammates well.
Well, I was going to get there, Shasky. That's part of leadership. He's being a leader. He is being a leader. And he's helping these youngsters know that, hey, these guys can extend my career. Pods and Kuminga and Moody and TJD, who knows what happened in the trade market? I have no idea. But as long as they're here, Draymond realizes that these guys can extend my career with their athleticism, their freshness, their young legs, and let me take them along for the ride. And one thing about Draymond Green we don't speak enough about. We don't speak enough about it. As I mentioned how Pods is a winning player, well, I know in a foxhole, in the biggest moments we've had over the last decade, Draymond Green has helped his team come through. He's helped his team come through when it matters most. The guy, when we talk about winning players, Draymond Green's a winning player.
Haven't you learned something about him with Steph being out?
Yeah, leadership. He's taking the next step. He understands that there's no Clay here. There's no CP3. I'm here and think about 2019 when Steph wasn't there and Clay wasn't there. We questioned his leadership with the youngsters. He missed a lot of time, and he mentioned it. He goes, man, it was hard to get up for games because I knew we were going to lose. Well, now, in these games against Houston and the Pelicans, they're down 20, 34 to 14. This team the last 2 years would have just got blown off the floor. Leadership. And, yeah, it takes a Lindy Waters III to give him a spark. It takes a Buddy Hield to give him a spark in the fourth quarter. But Draymond has been along for the ride saying, you know what? I got Zion tonight. I'm going to defend Zion and let the rest play out. So he's playing excellent, excellent basketball, and he talks about being a champion of change.
What have you learned about Jonathan Kuminga with Steph Curry being out? Because I wrote down two questions last week after the Steph news kind of came down, and it was like, hey, are we going to learn something about Jonathan Kuminga?
Yes, I learned a lot about JK. Is that there's a lot of people who misconstrue JK and who he is as a player. That's what I learned. Is that we still don't know Kuminga 4 years into it. And I say we, as a collective fan base, the guy's articulate as all hell. I heard people question his articulation in the English language, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He speaks better than a lot of Americans who play in the NBA, for crying out loud. That's number one. Number two is maturity, right on the fly. Getting to get big picture. If I play well, I will get paid. Now, I may not get paid here, but I will get paid if I play well. So let me buy in. And then not focusing on, and Draymond Green said this, we'll pull this out and we'll play it a little bit later, about starting. And Draymond Green mentioned, he goes, he should be mad about not starting. We all want to be starters at the end of the day, which is very, very interesting. Kind of contradicts what I says, right? But if you're getting 26, 27, 28 minutes, and you're getting meaningful minutes, well, that stuff goes, and you're winning basketball games, that stuff's already irrelevant here. So I learned the guy's mature, the guy's buying into his role, and the guy's playing winning basketball. And really, JK's just being JK. He's an athletic marvel, man. This guy can do a lot of things on the floor that a lot of people on this team cannot do.
Well, one of the things that was my question out loud about the team was who can be the number one option to close out a game? And I think the reason why Ron Adams said that it was his most impressive game, for a variety of reasons, it was Jonathan Kuminga's best game. But I think the number one thing was he was the number one option in overtime. He won a game down the stretch that they desperately had to have. I know it's early in the year, but you cannot lose a 30-point lead and then lose in overtime. You just can't. And to see him get three consecutive buckets at that point in time, that's what the great ascending players who are number one scoring options late in games, when everyone in the arena knows you want the ball and you go ISO mode, can you get a bucket? He did that. Now, it was one night. You got to do it more than once, okay? Everyone knows that. But for one night, that was pretty cool.
Here's what he said about that.
I mean, I feel like everybody offense was going to be needed. We had, like I said, we got a lot of people on the bench that coach would have chosen and put in the game, you know. But, you know, you being out there, it's a blessing, and just, you know, just going out there and just be motivated, because, you know, things like that probably not going to happen twice again, you know. But that moment when you get it, just go out there and just take it.
Just go out there and just take it. Just go play. Just go play hard. So, look, man, this is an impressive win. We're going to get the NFL on the other side. If you want to chime in, 888-957-9570. How are you feeling about these Dubs right now, who have improved the 5-1? What's your biggest concern? If you have any concerns, do you have a concern moving forward here? Do they have too many guys? Is it going to be tough for Steve Kerr to divvy up the minutes once Steph Curry gets back again? Steph Curry is questionable tonight against the Washington Wizards with the left ankle sprain. He may give it a go. But on the flip side, I've heard arguments saying, hey, hold him back against the Wizards. Let's buy one more game without Steph Curry. But I want Steph Curry acclimated into the season. He's not off to the greatest start in the world, 18-6-5. I want Steph Curry, because I want to learn if they get into another close game and they have Steph Curry on the floor, what does it look like? Who's the second option? Who's the third option? What's the five look like on the floor? What are you going to put out there, a defensive lineup or an offensive lineup? A lot of question marks there down the stretch here, but so far, so good, Shasky.
Yeah, and it feels like all the young guys are empowered and galvanized right now, and I think it could have turned into, this is my opportunity, y'all get out of the way, and finger pointing and frustration and mailing it in or whatever. And instead, I feel like they've rallied together, yeah, which is just such a great thing to see. And now you get your clear leader back in Steph Curry. Now let's go. Yeah, let's get rolling.
Feel a lot of fun here. Warriors and Wizards, 4:15 tip off. 4:15 tip. We'll get back into the Golden State Warriors in a little bit here. 888-957-9570 is the number. But let's get into some football here and go around the NFL. As a Niner fan, what did you learn this weekend with the Niners having a bye week? What did you learn about the NFC? 888-957-9570 is the number. That is coming up. Brought to you by Robert Half.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.